Our second testament reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride, for all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
You may want to keep your Bibles open. Galatians 5 and Galatians 6 are the two texts, the two chapters that we've been in over the past 2 weeks. If you were here last week, you would have heard me preach about freedom people. And I said, as we walk through Galatians 5, that freedom people start with Christ. We begin with the Christ life. Freedom people submit to one another in love. Freedom people choose the way of the spirit versus the way of the flesh. And freedom people are guided by wisdom. This week, we get to talk more about what freedom people do. And we got a bit of a hint from last week's text from Galatians 5:13, where Paul writes, "For you were called to freedom. Brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another." I don't know how that phrase hung with you this past week. Through love, become slaves to one another. As we walk through the last verses of Galatians, the Apostle Paul reiterates many ideas that he had been trying to get across during the previous five chapters. And the heart of what he tries to hammer home during these last few verses is about burdens, it's about loads, and it's about the way of the cross. Hence today's title, The Burden of a Gospel-Shaped Community. And as I was reflecting on that title, I thought, well, not much of a holiday feel to that one, is it? But may I remind us that we are a church. And we're trying to be this community that's about spiritual formation. And we're not a community that's about recreational inspiration. We leave that to you and your country clubs and your hot springs and whatever else recreates you. But when we gather in the house of the Lord, Sunday to Sunday, what we're trying to do is talk about what it means for us to engage Christian spiritual formation. And the church for 2,000 years has been talking spiritual formation and gospel transformation. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the mess of being together. And this text from Galatians chapter 6 challenges us well so that we might live lives that are truly human, truly free as Christ followers in the 21st century. So let's talk about the burden of being a freedom people. Now, remember that when Paul wrote this letter, it didn't have chapter breaks. So we have chapter breaks, and we're spoiled by chapter breaks, and we're also distracted by chapter breaks because we just keep things encapsulated in chapters. So let's pick up Galatians 5:25 again and then take it into 6:1. If we live by the Spirit, let's be guided by the Spirit. My friends, if anyone is detected in transgression, you who have received the Spirit that you're being guided by, should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, plural, burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So this burden bearing, let's talk about this burden bearing for just a couple of minutes. It's probably more than just singing, "Lean on me when you're not strong," right? Paul is talking about something probably more complicated and messy than singing songs about burden carrying. He gets more specific. He states that burden bearing ought to include gently restoring each other, while at the same time recognizing that this isn't an opportunity for self-strokes, but this is what the people of God do as a fruit-bearing people. And last week we talked about the ninefold fruit that was headed up by love and then followed by joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if we're restoring each other, it's with this ninefold fruit in action. It's like a few weeks ago when I talked about us sharing prophetic utterances with one another. I said, yes, let's prophetically utter words to each other, but let's remember that those words ought to be words of encouragement. Those words ought to echo the song of God. So, yes, speak boldly, but make sure that you don't use it as an excuse to rake someone over the coals. So in the same way, when we restore one another, we do it with gentleness. It needs to be Spirit-inspired. It needs to hold this same feeling that the ninefold fruit gives. So how might this play out? I thought, well, has this ever happened? Here's how it might play out. You have a spiritual friendship with someone, maybe in this community of faith, maybe in a larger community of faith, and you sense that God is calling you to restore this brother or sister because she or he might be choosing to live in the mindset of the flesh versus the mindset of the Spirit. And last week I said the mindset of the flesh is being obsessed with how do I look, how do I feel, how do I control. And so maybe a brother or sister in the Lord is being consumed by the mindset of the flesh. And so with gentleness, you restore this person and you invite them to get a different perspective, or you pray for them, or you listen to them, or you ask hard questions, but you do it with words of peace. You do it with a generosity. You do it with a sense of patience. You do it patiently believing that God is alive and the Spirit will affirm this, and you'll wait on God. This isn't your agenda. This is God's agenda. This is God's restoration. So this might be what it looks like for us to carry the burden of one another as freedom people. We wade through the muck and mire of life together, and we actually pay attention to each other enough to say those hard words, to speak truth in love. This is the burden of being a freedom people. This is being slaves to one another in the name of love. Secondly, I want to talk about the balance that we see in Galatians 6 about the load-bearing of being a freedom person. So we have this burden of being people together, but then Paul also seems to balance it with this load-bearing of being a freedom person. If we look at verses 4 and 5, we read this perspective that's more individually focused, where Paul says, "All must test their own work, for all must carry their own loads." All must carry their own loads. So there's a tension there, isn't there? Between, yes, carrying each other's burden, and then, oh no, I need to carry my own load. And our first response might be, what's that all about? One quote I read this week was from Gordon Fee, and I thought he put it well. He said, "Each person must mind his or her own affairs, carry his or her own load, and thus not envy and challenge one another." So maybe if we remember the context of Galatians, we remember that this is Paul writing to Christians, young Christians, who have been hassled by agitators who are saying to these young Gentile Christians, these non-Jewish Christians, you need to live more by religious rules. And perhaps these agitators were saying, you need to be like us because it'll give a more unified front. But yes, Paul might say unity is important, but there's also this personal responsibility for faith. And it doesn't just happen by all looking the same and all following the same religious rules. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had someone impose a rule or religious law on you in the name of a religion? Maybe you can think of a moment. Have you ever had a religious law put on you where someone said, well, Christians don't dot, dot, dot? What did that feel like? Often, in my experience, it usually feels like shame. And people maybe phrase it with a good heart and say, well, I know it's not fair for me to judge, but, and then they blast you with a judgment. Or they say, with all due respect, dot, 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 and then they blast you. That's not what we're supposed to be about as the people of God. And I know this tension so complicated because, yes, we want to speak truth and love to one another, and at the same time, we want to carry our own responsibilities as believers and not overburden each other. There's so many ways that we can get this wrong. And all I can say is, God, help us. And God, help us recognize that this is a messy endeavor together. And so here we find ourselves in this mess of bearing each other's burdens, speaking truth to each other in love, keeping sober judgment of our own ways and our own lives, and then also recognizing that we have our own responsibilities and roles in living out our faith. This sounds like a lot of work. And lest you think I just want you to do more stuff as a Christian, I want us to hearken back to Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. We start in Christ. We're sustained by this living Christ life that we profess of. And in the end, things end in Christ. And so as we wrestle with and try to make sense of today's text, we're trying to hold this tension of bearing burdens of each other, but then also carrying our own weight. I want us to talk about maybe a hopeful glimmer in the midst of all of this, of what it looks like when we get it right. And I want to say that freedom people get it right as we give up our rights. Freedom people get it right as we give up our rights. If the journey starts in Christ, if it's sustained by Christ, if it ends in Christ, then the way that we get it right is by walking this way of humility of our Savior. As Paul talks about it, he talks about it being the way of the cross. In the last verses of Galatians 6, It's interesting to read Paul getting really amped up. And as an apostle, he would have a scribe writing for him. But in the last verses of Galatians 6, Paul seems like takes the pen himself and then starts writing. And it's kind of like that email that you get from someone that's in all caps. They're trying to yell at you through email. Have you had that? I know that doesn't always take you to a happy place, but Paul is a little agitated here because he's trying to really make a point. He's trying to say, Galatians, don't let the agitators get you, and don't let those libertine people get you that tell you everything's okay. Hold this tension in the middle. I'm trying to make a point here. So in Paul's all caps email, verse 11, he says, "See what large letters I make as I'm writing in my own hand." And in his final closing points, he says, it's about the cross. Verse 14, "May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then he says, it's about new creation. It's not about rules. It's not about throwing rules on each other. It's not about trying to evade all the rules that you can. It's about new creation. Paul writes in verse 15, "For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything." And then in verse 17, he writes about the marks of Jesus. "I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body." As we close our time in today's text, as we move towards the table of the Lord this morning, I want to flesh out these questions a bit. The first one is, has Jesus' life, and even as we're at the table of the Lord, remembering the death and the resurrection of Christ, but I want you to think this morning and pray this morning, has Jesus' life and his sacrificial love displayed for us on the cross and at the table, has that changed us? Maybe this morning you'll use that as an opportunity, as you drink of the cup, as you eat of the bread, to recognize that as you're being filled with the Christ life, you are being changed. Question number two for reflection. How have we experienced new creation? How do our lives bring this new creation phrase to life that Paul's talking about? If Paul says, nothing matters but new creation, how is new creation coming alive in our lives, even as we move into the lazy days of summer? And then thirdly, how have our lives been branded by the marks of Jesus? How have our lives been branded by the marks of Jesus? Now, I know as North American Christians, we probably don't have any physical scars of our life of following Christ. If you do have a physical scar, I want to hear your testimony here during the summer. One commentator I read this week said, probably the scars or the marks that we show most oftenly as North American Christians is in our pocketbooks, where we've given to the body of Christ or we've given to the church. Or maybe we feel it in unseeable ways where we've taken a shot or a wound to our reputation or a wound to our identity or a wound to our do I look good enoughness in the name of Jesus. So maybe you'll reflect on how you carry around the marks, or how have you been branded by Jesus? And how do you live out that branding, or how do you tell stories about that branding? Not as bragging, but just boasting in this cross, boasting in this new way of creation that has actually changed your life, transformed you, body, mind, heart, and soul. I know it's a broken record, but this is a long obedience in the same direction. And for those of you who don't know what a broken record is, it's when your CD gets stuck in that loop saying the same thing again and again and again. But my broken record message to us week after week seems to be, this is a long process. This is a long obedience in the same direction. We're not going to get this right quickly, but we're going to get it right together. God help us. I want to read a closing quote from Reinhold Niebuhr, who lived from 1892 to 1971, American theologian, He's also been called a Christian realist, which I thought was an interesting phrase. I'm going to close with this quote. He says, "Real success does not consist in getting it right all the time. Success is what we do with our failures. Our Lord said, 'Take up your cross.' It is not something we go looking for in faraway places. Sooner or later, the Lord hands us a cross, and our job is to recognize it. For each of us, there are events that made a difference. No two of us experienced the same joyful or sorrowful mysteries. Maybe it was meeting with a friend, a family member, or an enemy. Maybe it was a sickness or a triumph. We try to see our life through the eyes of faith, with a confidence that God, in His grace, can draw good out of the most awful and unwelcome happenings, as well as out of the moments of joy. It is not that we have all the answers, but we have enough to sustain our faith and love. Our faith is based on God's faithfulness." May God help us to welcome the burden of each other, and at the same time to have the wisdom and discernment to know what we're supposed to be carrying ourselves. And may we recognize anew today, even as we come to the table of Christ, that it's not about getting it right. It's about giving up our rights. It's about walking this way of the cross. It's about walking in the way of new creation. It's about listening to each other. It's about forgiveness and confession. I'm going to give you 1 minute for silent reflection. Maybe to think on these questions, to reflect on the text, to maybe be under the text, and to allow the Word of God, even with your Bible open, to continue to speak to you. And then I'll close with a prayer. Let's pray together. Let's be silent together. Jesus speaks to us about burdens in the following way. He says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."